that's 100 feet. 20 feet of it. And he got the other van, the van of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the van. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the left toe of his right foot. Epistle to the Romans. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit out of holiness, and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Book of Ruth. Chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon, Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was wed, and had two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was wed of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Now the book of Genesis. Chapter 22. became this one, and it came to pass after these things. And God had tempted Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now lastly, in the Gospel by Mark, Gospel by Mark, chapter 7. And verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee, to the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak.
I wanted to refer to the blood being placed upon the tip of the priest's ear, not so much Aaron, but the ear of the priests. Brethren will remember that. The Bible is a book of divine communication to men and women. We're all aware of the variety that is expressed in this. How men and women received messages from God and acted upon them and so produced something for the glory of God and for their blessing. And I want to speak a little this evening about the importance of our ears. Again and again and again in these readings we have been reminded that the Spirit is speaking to us. And we have to use our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Before we say any more, may we all be reminded of our Master and His ears. No dullness, no deafness, no willfulness that stopped His ears. Morning by morning, he openeth mine ears. What a wonderful example for us. Have you ever wondered, dear brethren, why it never says, And the Lord spake unto Jesus? Because every moment of that precious life, he was in communion with his God. Not a spasmodic life or listening. Morning by morning, He openeth my ears. Here is the example for us. To hear what God is saying to us and obey. We are called to this. We are called to the obedience of Christ. And I believe I'm speaking for myself. And I think I can speak for us all. we'll miss the gain of these meetings unless we pay attention to the things that we have heard and seek grace from the Lord to put them into practice, that there may be something for the pleasure of God. I have referred to dullness. The apostle refers to this in the epistle to the Hebrews. He wanted to communicate other things to them, but they were dull of hearing. It's just possible, dear brethren, that there may be things in our lives that prevent us from enjoying divine communications to the full. God yearns to impart to us the choicest things of heaven, but he cannot overlook our moral condition. And if we are dull of hearing, if we are slow in understanding the mind of God, there's a reason for it. And we must search in the presence of God why it is we are so slow to take in divine communications, so slow to understand them. By diligent applying of ourselves, we can acquire knowledge in the realm of men. We have minds that are capable of this. No amount of diligent application will make us understand the things of God unless there is a moral condition that helps us to take them in and a desire to apply them to our lives. It's a terrible thing if our ears are stopped. The woeful stopping of our ears to prevent divine communications reaching to us. Some fixed opinion, some expression of self-will, something we are determined to hold on to, no matter what the Lord says to us. You remember there were those who listened to the Apostle Paul, and they listened, and they listened, until there came a moment when he spoke about the nations. Away with this fellow! We don't want to listen to this anymore. He's touched upon a sore point. Our fixed opinion, something we are determined to lay hold of, something we won't give up. And they lost all the value of this message from this beloved servant of God. Well, the Lord wants to help us. He wants our ears to be opened. We sing it, and I hope it's true of us all, about the pardoned sinner's memory holds, and another half so dear. It's the opened ear that appreciates this. We sing this together. Jesus, how much thy name unfolds to every opened ear. Having said this, I want to refer to these scriptures. The blood placed upon the tip of the right ear of the priests and the right finger, the right toe, those different members anointed with the blood and the oil, indicating how God would claim for himself on the basis of redemption and the gift of the Spirit those ears of ours, that we might receive communications from him, that we might be intelligent as to what is suitable for his presence. What a wonderful privilege, dear brethren, to have our ears open for such communications. How sad to find in the history of the priesthood that there were those who ignored their moral condition, sank to the level of beasts, and God had to come in judgment. Thank God for those who had an opened ear to listen to what God had to say. We know that nothing but Christ satisfies the heart of God. We know that this pleases God as we present him before God. And this is what we require, to have ears that can take in intelligently those divine communications concerning the Son. But what I principally want to draw attention to is this fact that the blood is placed upon the tip of the ear. That ear belongs to God. He claims that ear. It's His. We are responsible to God directly to apply that ear for the reception of divine communications. He doesn't want that ear solely given over to the listening of things that are vulgar, evil, wrong. He wants that ear for Himself. Your ear, my ear. He wants that ear because He gave His Son to die. That ear might be open, that ear might be available. There are few ears, relatively speaking, that are available to God. The Mass goes on indifferently, unconscious of divine communication. It's impossible that they should know. Scripture says this: eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for those who love Him. It's absolutely impossible for the natural man to receive any divine communication. But once that ear has been touched with the blood, once the redemptive power of Jesus has been put into expression, that ear is available for divine communications. And I'm sure, beloved brethren, we want to know more about this. We want to know more about the Spirit's voice to us, revealing not so much our failures as we have been reading together, but in this setting, preciousness of Christ. Think of those communications that Moses got, the instructions that Aaron got, directing the priests what to bring, how their hands should be filled, how the sacrifices should be brought, minute details as to the things that pleased God. I think if we paid more attention to this, it would preserve us from vain repetition in our worship. Perhaps our worship would be briefer, but it would be sweeter. If we presented what the Spirit pressed upon our souls, something of the preciousness of Christ, there would be greater variety, greater power, greater sweetness, greater depth in our response to our God. And there's a vast detail, vast amount of detail, in the preciousness of Jesus. Now secondly, in the sixth chapter of Romans, we have the slave, the ear of a slave, ear of a bondman. The apostle reminds the Christians that their ears had been given over to the service of sin. But now, having been brought to Christ, they were no longer slaves of sin. They had received the freedom from sin. Work of Christ was so great, power of God was so great, that now they had been set free. And every member was to be a member of righteousness for the glory of God. And I think we can see clearly that this involves our ears. We all know that in the eastern countries where the slaves were, they weren't free to do as they wished. They were at the behest of their master. They were his property. He could direct them to do anything he wished. He could kill them if he wanted. They were his. And their ear had to be ready to listen to the voice of the master. Pity help the slave who ignored his master's voice, turned away from it. Nothing but punishment awaited him, perhaps death. And so the apostle uses this figure to impress upon us how every one of us is responsible to God to listen to what God has to say to us, that member operating in righteousness may answer to God. Oh, beloved brethren, how challenging to realize that we are born slaves of God. The death of Christ has made us this, and whether we act up to it or not, this remains true. We are in the position of born slaves of God. Wonderful if we answer to this, if we keep our ears open for the Master's voice and answer to it with alacrity. How slothful we are, how slow we are to answer the divine command. This is not the joy of entering into the sanctuary in priestly worship. This is the duty of command. And every one of us is responsible to answer to this command. The righteousness involved in having our ears ready to listen to the Master's voice. Now, in a company like this, there must be a variety of condition, and only you yourself know just the will of the Master for you. I can't answer for you, you can't answer for me, but you know the Master's desire. Well, if that ear is open, if it's operating in righteousness, then there should be an alacrity on your part and on my part to obey that voice. Well, it says here that the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. And one would get the impression that those bond slaves of God who obey him, are the persons who enjoy the blessedness of eternal life in its fullest sense. The wages of sin, death. Disobedience. Wages of disobedience. Wages of sin, death. But the gift of God, eternal life. There were many slaves in those days who were showered with presents by their masters because of the kind service that was rendered. You think our God will be behind in his kindness and rewards to those who are prepared to obey him, prepared to listen to his commands and follow him? I'm sure God is only too ready to show his appreciation of anything done for his glory and the honor of Christ. Now, I thought in the story in Ruth, we have perhaps a little illustration of how a backslider's ear was opened. The person was encouraged to return to the Lord. I don't know you all here, but there may be persons who have slipped aside, maybe persons who have gone into the land of Moab to find satisfaction and have proved the futility of such a movement, who have proved what it is to have a wasted life, years wasted, barrenness coming into the soul when everything looked so prosperous and inviting. And movement away from the divine center producing this barrenness. And suddenly, in this condition, a voice comes. In Naomi's case, it was while she was in Moab that she heard that there was blessing and food somewhere else. And the quicker she got back to it, the better. Well, Naomi retraced her ways. Some of us have known what it is to retrace our ways and receive the blessing of God in doing so. And it's a grand thing to get back into the presence of God and his people and find encouragement and help. Are there any here this evening who have been into the fields of Moab and who feel that they've wasted their time? There's a voice coming to you this evening. I trust you'll hear it. Get back to the Lord. Get back as soon as you can. Repent. Humble yourself. Back into his presence. Get among his people. Get a share of the food that is circulated. Come back. Don't stop your ears. Don't have a fixed opinion. Don't have a reservation. Come back fully in repentance and receive the benefit of this divine communication. What a wonderful thing it is to know that there is food amongst the people of God. What a sad thing to be outside of it when it's there, not partake of it, not enjoy it. Oh, dear friend, if I'm speaking to any who are in this condition, will they listen to the voice of God this evening, speaking into your ear, inviting you to come back and share what is circulating amongst the people of God? In Abraham's case, I think we have perhaps the supreme example, apart from the Lord himself, of obedience in the scriptures. Here was a man who was accustomed to listen to God. It was his habitual life. It wasn't something unusual for Abraham to listen to God. He was always available to God. He was always ready to serve God. Always ready to follow him. And then this test came. Abraham, I've got something to say to you. Well, Lord, I'm here. Just speak on. What a communication. Abram, give up the very best that you have. What a stunning communication. Abram might have thought, and he would have been entitled to think in this way, God was going to impart some comforting news to him, some encouraging news. And instead, he got this announcement that he was to offer up to God the very best thing that he had, his well-beloved son. He would have been entitled to pause and consider, naturally speaking, can God really mean that he wants me to offer up my well-beloved son? We find no trace of this in the divine record. Very early in the morning, it says, he rose up. No hesitation, no waiting, no reservation. Immediately with the divine communication, he obeyed. His ear was so accustomed to the voice of God that he was ready to obey. Well, I feel challenged by this. I don't know how you feel. How often we have hesitated. This is what the scripture says. It comes to mind. He hesitated not at the promise of God, but obeyed, gave glory to God. Hesitated not. And this surely is a wonderful example of how an ear would be open to hear what God has to say and to act upon it. Now, this was something unique and special, but then the Bible is a unique book. And all the statements in the Bible are unique and special as they relate to us, every one of them, every statement that is made in the New Testament bearing upon us as Christians is special and unique. There's nothing second hand, there's nothing that's irrelevant. It's all special, it's all unique. And I want to say to this company this evening, are we all remembering the Lord? Have we all been baptized? Are we all faithful to the Lord? In communications that are so plain in his word, the Bible says that every Christian should be baptized. Nothing can be plainer. Are we all baptized? The Bible says so plainly that we ought to remember the Lord Jesus. Nothing can be plainer than this. Is there anything wrong with our ears that prevent us from answering to those divine directions? And there are many other things. Time forbids that we enter into all the detail contained in the New Testament bearing upon us as Christians, but there's not one part of it that's relevant. It all bears upon us, and we're all obedient We should all be obedient. We should all be ready. I want to close with this incident in Mark 7 to indicate the graciousness of the Lord Jesus, who would help us in this matter of hearing. And I just want to draw attention to one feature of this story. How the Lord graciously took this man apart from the crowd and in private with him dealt with his deaf condition and made him speak. Now I know that in meetings like this we feel encouragement. Tremendous amount of encouragement and blessing we feel as we come together in fellowship one with another. But I believe that the Lord deals most effectively with us in private. It's there that we get matters resolved. If we know that it's right to do things, we get into His presence and we ask Him why it is that there seems to be a hesitancy on our part to answer to divine communications. And it's there that He'll show us why we are so dull of hearing, why it is that we are so slow to respond. Because we can reason with the brethren, and we can bring forward arguments with the brethren, and we could perhaps would have a very good case for ourselves amongst the brethren, but when we're in the presence of the Master, He's the holy and the true. The book of Amos talks about a plumb line. Now there's no deviation. It's as straight as it's possible to be. And that's where the holy and the true brings us. And when we're in His presence, this is what we've got to answer. And we know it's no good making excuses. Because we know that the things that prevent us from answering to the Lord's mind are paltry and trivial compared to the glory of the one who loves us. And I believe, dear brethren, that this incident indicating how the Lord would draw aside into His own presence this man and cure him from his deaf state and make him a rejoicing person is just what we all need, every one of us. And in this busy life, how difficult sometimes it is to find moments alone with Jesus, and how necessary it is. Oh, beloved brethren, if there is an endeavour on our part for anything, let it be to find time with the Lord to resolve matters in His presence and with Him alone. And I am perfectly sure we'll be more effective in the company when we receive His help in private.